Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I think you're going to enjoy the lesson today. We've been reading from the book of John about things that Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room. And in our last class, we were reading in the prayer of John chapter 17. And in just a moment, we're going to conclude that prayer, reading John chapter 17, beginning in verse 24. And I'll read on through John chapter 18 and verse 1, where it's going to talk about Jesus going toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And of course, we know he is going to pray there. And the reason we're studying this is we're leading up to a lesson about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday schools many years ago, the Sunday of March 11th, 1923. And you can almost imagine that you're going back to that Sunday school class and hearing those things as maybe your grandparents or even great-grandparents heard them. And it is good to do that, not only to know where our faith came from in the generations past, but this faith is ever fresh and ever new. And then you studying these things, they can mean as much to you as it meant unto them. So while you're turning in your Bible to John chapter 17, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, if you have your Bibles handy, follow along. And if not, simply listen to these beautiful words that John wrote for us to help us understand Jesus the Christ. Here we are, John 17:24, and Jesus is praying, and he prays, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me. And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. And then John chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, and there was a garden into which he entered himself and his disciples. Now that's where we find the Garden of Gethsemane. And so I want you to now turn to the book of Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin reading in just a moment in Luke chapter 22 and verse 39, and then looking at the notes that E.A. Elam wrote on this to guide the Sunday school teacher in teaching this class. And so Luke chapter 22 and verse 39 says, And he came out and went, as his custom was, into the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. After the fact stated in the introduction, Jesus and his disciples went into the Garden of Gethsemane, late in the night, in the light of the full moon of the Passover week. Gethsemane means oil press, and was doubtless an olive orchard, probably enclosed, where oil was pressed out of its fruit. It was on the western slope of the Mount of Olives, just across the brook Kidron from Jerusalem, and it was only a short distance from Jerusalem to Gethsemane. Kindred. That word means black torrent. The Kindred River, or the little creek that flowed there, flowed through the ravine between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, but running only during the rainy season. Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples, we read in John 18 and verse 2, And as we read here in Luke chapter 22 in verse 39, it says it was his custom to be there. And so in Luke chapter 22 in verse 40, we read, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation. Having reached the garden, Jesus said to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go yonder and pray." Matthew 26:36. 8 of them remained there. Also he said, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Note the deep interest he had in his disciples. In his darkest hours, Jesus desired to be alone with God in prayer. His deep, abiding interest in his disciples is seen from the fact that in the severest trials of his life and deepest troubles of his soul, he had their future peace and welfare at his heart. He was a tearful, supplicant Savior, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and verse 3, "And by whose stripes we are healed," 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Now Jesus was exceeding sorrowful unto death. Let me read this account to you from Matthew chapter 36, verses 36 through 39. We read, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and sore troubled. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch with me. And he went forward a little and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt." Let me read also to you this account from Mark chapter 14, and I'll just read verses 32 through 34. And here it says, "They come to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Abide ye here and watch." Leaving the eight, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and went further into the garden. These three, we remember, were with Jesus in the chamber when he raised Jairus' daughter, and on the Mount of Transfiguration. This was not partiality or favoritism. These three were prepared and fitted for this, and they began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. The natural vigor of Jesus was overcome by sorrow. And he was oppressed and even overwhelmed by anguish of spirit. This began to be apparent to his disciples. He said to the three, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." This means that unless he found relief, death would ensue. His betrayal was at hand. The mock trial was just before him, and the shadow of the horrible death on the cross was upon him. As he was more than human, he felt all this with more than human sensibility, while the temptation came upon him and all the weakness of humanity. Into this one hour were crowded all the horrors, cruelty, shame, and death on the cross, the wickedness and treachery of Judas, the desertion of the 11, the hypocrisy and crime of the Jewish leaders, and the rejection by the race of their only Savior, together with the sins of the whole world, were all upon him and overwhelmed him with sorrow. We read in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree." And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, how he was tried and died as a criminal between thieves. He suffered, here it is, "the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us unto God. Not simply from the physical suffering of death did he shrink, but his divine nature felt more keenly than mortals can know the horror and awfulness of sin and the calamity of his trial and crucifixion. He was despised and rejected by men. He was bruised and put to grief for the sins of others. And so we read he was alone with God. We read about his humility. And then the angel. Let me read from Luke chapter 22, 41 and 42. And he was parted from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. While he yet spake, just after Jesus had returned to the three and the other eight apostles, and while he was talking with them, Judas came with this great multitude. Excuse me, let me read back here. I skipped a page. Here it is, Luke 22, 41 and 42. Abide ye here and watch with me, Matthew 26, 38. In this hour of agony, Jesus desired human sympathy. He had encouraged and comforted his disciples in every hour of trouble and weakness. But now he desired them to watch with him that he might not be disturbed by the traitor and the mob in his hour of communion with God. And he went forward a little, about a stone's cast, it says in Luke 22:41. He would be entirely alone. First, as Luke in verse 41 says, he knelt down and prayed, and then, as Matthew states, he fell on his face, or prostrated himself. This is the lowest attitude of prayer and expresses a feeling of helplessness, humility, and entire dependence upon God. In prayer, one goes to God in humility, reverence, and awe, and the attitude naturally expresses the feelings and conditions of the heart. Prayer must be in faith and from the heart. Jesus did not go through this form of prayer, but unburdened his soul to God. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Remove this cup from me, Matthew 26:39. It says, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. And when Jesus says, Abba, he's using a loving common term that means Father. The cup is the suffering of all that was rapidly coming upon him. His betrayal and trial, the cross and its shame, the horrors of dying as a sinner, of being executed as a criminal. Then, before him arose the salvation and destiny of the world, and in triumphant faith and submission he added, Howbeit, not what I will, but what thou wilt. If God could not save the race unless Jesus should drink this cup, then he was willing to die, while he must drink the bitter cup. God answered his prayer. We read in Luke chapter 22:43, that there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. He was heard for his godly fear. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. In Philippians 2 and verse 8 we read, that he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Every prayer should be offered first to God, and two, in the faith and resignation of Jesus. God may answer prayer now, without granting the specific thing desired.